Grace to you and peace this morning from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Let's start out with a few words today from David in the Psalms. Listen carefully. David says in Psalm 7, verse 17, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. In Psalm 65, verse 1, he says, praise is due to thee, O God in Zion, and to thee shall vows be performed. And then in Psalm 98, Psalm 98, verse 6. Happens all the time. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. And today we're talking about giving thanks to God, and why should we do it? Many reasons, but David gives us one straight reason here, three times in the Psalms, because praise is due to him. It's due to God, because God is, for what he is, he's good, and for what he does to us, he has done us good. In the past, just like you sang a moment ago, he's doing us good in the present, and he's promised to do us good also in the future. And so praise is due to God because of all that he is and all that he does. And as it says in Psalm 106, the Lord, he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Another reason I'd like to preach on thanksgiving and giving thanks to God today, giving him the honor, glory, and due his name, is because we often fail to do this. We do have thanksgiving, but perhaps not as we should, in terms of overflowing with abounding thanksgiving. Is that the way you'd characterize your life? I heard a story once, or just imagine if you could, if God sent two angels down, take care of your prayers. And one angel was there to gather all of the requests in one basket. The other angel was to gather all of the thanksgivings to God in the other basket. When they returned to God, what would they bring from your prayers? One basket would probably be full of requests. Oh, I need this, Lord. How about your thanksgivings? Most of us just be a few letters, few notes in there to God. Wouldn't that not be better to have that basket overflowing back to God? For this is what God's will is for you. In fact, what can you give to God? Name it. What can you give to God that he doesn't own?
Health.
God doesn't have health? Actually, you can thank God for health. Right, you're right, sorry. But what can we give to God that he doesn't already have is the question. Nothing. Everything, as he says in Job 41, who has given to me a gift that I should repay him, and whatever is in under the whole heaven is mine. There's only one thing really that God wants from you, which is praise and thanksgiving for what? Everything he's given to you. And this is what he says is his will in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. He doesn't leave it up to your imagination. He says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Because this is his expressed will. This is what God wants your life to be about, is abounding in thanksgiving because of everything he is, everything he's done, is doing, and will do for you. And watch this, in all circumstances. It's pretty great to praise God for a sunset because it's beautiful. It's pretty great to praise him for the breath in your lungs. Maybe better for that. But can you thank God even for the sufferings that you have? Now there's a mature Christian, because you see in that God is still good. His steadfast love endures forever, and he is about a good work in you even through those sufferings to conform you into Christ's image. So, thanksgiving. We don't want to be like the ungrateful world that's around us. Listen to what Paul says of the last days and what we got to watch out for, because we live in the world, right? Anybody here not living in the world? You know, it's like that Stephen Wright joke. His friend sent him a picture, and on it was a picture of the world. He opened it up inside and says, wish you were here. You know? Well, if you're in the world, you're going to have to be contending with ungrateful people. For it says, understand this, in the last days there'll come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents. Ungrateful is one of the characteristics of the last days. We live in a world where God's pouring blessings, as it says in Luke 6, even upon the ungrateful and the selfish, God is kind. And yet, people are ungrateful. They don't care. They sit there like a stiff board with all or a stone with God giving and pouring a fountain of good around them, and no thanks coming. Well, we want to be thankful people, and word and deed giving thanks to God the Father through Christ. So let's talk to them today about what you need in order to grow in and cultivate thankfulness and gratitude in your heart. What do you need? Well, one thing I believe we need is we need to have eyes. Eyes to be able to see the little things in which God blesses us. As it says, if you read in Psalm 103, there's another Psalm of David. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Have you forgotten God's benefits to you? Old Testament reading today, God says, "I'm going to warn you, when you go into the promised land, I'm going to give you a lot of stuff. Prosperity might kill you, so don't forget. Don't let that prosperity fatten your hearts. And forget the Lord your God who gives you all good things." Have you forgotten? Can you see? Has sin kind of blinded your eyes? Or the devil, who is our enemy in the spiritual realms? He doesn't want your praise to God. Gratitude, he wants to cover your mind so that you just see misery. Do you feel like you have a miserable life sometimes? "Oh, my days are so dark. I'll give thanks to God on the day when I'm having a better day, when I have something to give thanks for." That's the way you feel? You think maybe, perhaps, this may be that good day, and you just don't see it? Have you, as David says in Psalm 103, have you forgotten all of his benefits? Are your eyes closed to the little things, which are still great, in which God protects, provides for you? Listen to what Luther says. This is in the Catechism. The word catechism always makes me think of dry things. I don't like the word catechism, but I like that it means questions and answers. And he says here, "I believe in God the Father, the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth." What's this mean, Luther says? He says, it means that I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He's given me my body, my soul, my eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of a fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it's my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Are your eyes open? Can you see that God is blessing you right now, this very instant? The living God who has promised to be in the midst of his people is blessing you right now. Can I prove that to you? Everybody go like this. One more time. Come on, I'm going to wake you up for this sermon. Falling asleep on me. No. Ready? Acts chapter 24, Paul said, Acts chapter 17, verse 24, Paul says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything." He just proved to me that God gave you breath. Anybody in here dead? I know sometimes in a long sermon you might seem like you're dead, but if you're still breathing, you're alive. And if you're alive, that means God has given you that breath, and you can give thanks to him for that right now. Because you couldn't breathe for 1 second unless God were sustaining your body. Think of all the other things that you're missing daily. About your clothes, your home, your house, your family. As I said before, you can praise God for a sunset. Do. That's great. But it's glorious. It's overpowering. Can you praise God for the common things? Or can you praise him even for suffering, which he's using to work in you, something, as it says in the Old Testament lesson, to do you good in the end? Can you see that? That God is working that in you? Something I've noticed, when I give thanks to God, and I myself am learning and growing in that too, just like you, is it changes my heart. I think I told you once years ago about when I was on an Outward Bound trip, snowshoeing, dog sledding, and then northern climes of Vermont and New Hampshire. Man, it's been so long. Hopefully I've given thanks since then, but I remember one night, it was super cold. My first night far out in the North Woods, just ice and freezing temperatures, and the fire was comforting, but then we put the fire out to go to sleep in our sub-zero temperature sleeping bags, and I was a little scared. My first night out, I was shivering. So this is my second night out. I'm actually away from civilization this time, and I'm a little scared, and I thought to myself, of that It's a Wonderful Merry Christmas show with Bing Crosby, where it says, "When you're worried and can't sleep, count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings," right? So I started doing that. Out there, felt like I was surrounded by a pack of wolves. I don't know what's out there. It's freezing. Started counting my blessings. And even though the fire of the campfire had crackled down to nothing, there's a fire that started to grow in my heart of light, of the Lord's warmth. And that's what Thanksgiving does to us. It's not only because it's due to his name, because it is, but also engenders and grows in us the faith that we have so that, look, my eyes are being opened to all the goodness of God that's around me, and I return to God the thanks to his name, and I grow strong, and I grow calm. And I go fearless, and all these things because of thanksgiving. So rejoice in God for this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits. So you need eyes. Pray for God to open your eyes. But secondly, I believe you also need ears to hear the great things. There are some things about God's blessings that you can't see. And the world scoffs. If I can't see it, it's like they're from Missouri. The show me state. You want me to believe it? Show it to me. Right? But there are some things we can only speak to people. But that word, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What we want to do for rejoicing then is forget not all his benefits. The psalm goes on and says, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Do you rejoice at this? That your God has come to save you? That he's come to give you life and forgiveness through the atoning death of his son Jesus? Through the shedding of his blood? By his resurrection, a promise? You'll live with me forever. I'm the God who created all things. I'll raise you up. I'll be with you today, and I'll bring you to my home with me in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus says. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again and take you to myself. Do you believe that word? Are your ears open to be thanksgiving for these great things I'm speaking to you? Or is it like, yeah, I heard that last week. Hey, dinner's coming. No. Look, open your ears again this week to the gospel. It's a fantastic thing. God's word never returns void. It accomplishes what he purposes, and his purpose is life to you and a friendship with him through the peaceful, atoning blood of Christ. We had some people on our boat last night. We had a charter. We went out from 4 to 6, beautiful sail. They were from the community. They were originally from Israel. They were Jews. They spoke with a very Jewish accent, and their son was David. He was 3 months old, and they're a very nice couple. I enjoyed them a lot. But they did not believe in Christ. They didn't believe in the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. And I tried to explain to them that this word they're hearing is the word of salvation to all who believe it. And I shared with them about when Naomi was in her mommy's womb. And I used to get up right close to her belly, and I've shared this sometime in the past. Forgive me, when you've been here 4 years, you share some illustrations the same. But I got up to Beth's tummy, and I sang all kinds of songs. Naomi kind of liked the music, but then she loved Inchworm, right? Remember that? Inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigold. Seems to me you'd stop and see how beautiful they are. And anytime I'd sing that to Beth's tummy, where Naomi was, Naomi'd be like moving around. She loved that song. more than any other song. And when she was born, the night she came out and was in the light for the first time, I sang that song to her, and she turned her little face like this and finally saw the face of the man who'd been speaking to her all along in darkness. Well, let me tell you, you need ears to hear, because right now you're in the womb. You are hearing the voice of your God lovingly calling you his son, his daughter, redeemed, forgiven, loved. I'm with you. He's singing a sweet melody of an infant lullaby to you daily in the preaching of the gospel to comfort and give you joy. But guess what? One day you're going to be born into heaven, into the light of the kingdom when Jesus comes, and you're going to see the one who's been singing to you all this time face to face. I promise you, I guarantee it, you will see God face to face. And so let's rejoice then. Have your ears open, and don't be like some dunce or dolt, as Luther says, who happens to be standing in church while the words are sung, and he was made man, and he doesn't take off his cap, bow his knees, or accord the words any honor, but stands there like a stick when the entire multitude fall on their knees and sing praises to God. Love the way he talks, right? Dunce, dolt. I don't usually use those words now, but it really gets the point across. So, for our sake he became sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen again. Close your eyes. It's a dangerous thing in a sermon to say that, I know. But close your eyes for a second and listen to these words once again of God. He says, "For in God, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." God was in Christ reconciling you to himself, forgiving you all your trespasses, and bringing you peace with God. So you can open your eyes now, hopefully. So you need eyes to see the blessings of God all around as he provides. You need ears to hear the preaching of the gospel. And lastly, you also need to have a heart that receives it with joy. You know what? Your thanksgiving to God will be directly in proportion to how much joy you have in receiving his gifts. If you receive them like a stick or a stone, then you're going to respond like a stick or a stone. The more joy you have in receiving them, the more joy you're going to have in returning thanks and praise to God, which really is the only thing you can offer to God, right? We can lay down our lives, give him our money and stuff, but really all that is simply thanks and praise to God. But I want you today to receive from God the gift he desires to give you in Christ in the same way and in the same spirit in which he gives it to you. How does God give you everything? How does God give you his son? How does God give you life and the promise to be with you and to build you up? He gives it to you in joy. Think about that. Come on. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," right? God gives it to you happily. He's not forking it over. He's pouring it out like a fountain from heaven upon you, covering you daily with his salvation and his love in Jesus Christ. If you receive it in the same way that he's giving it, which is in joy, you're not going to have to work at Thanksgiving. It's going to be pouring out of your lips. So I encourage you today on this day of Thanksgiving, let God pour into you his gift with joy and receive it with joy as God intends for you to receive it. And be like that man who, when he was healed of his leprosy in Luke chapter 17, didn't go away like the others, but fell at Jesus' feet giving him thanks. And Jesus says, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has saved you. You know what? If you receive the gift of God with joy, the joy is not simply that he was healed of his leprosy, but that he knew Jesus. And Jesus wants you to know him. And he wants you to know him through his gospel, in love, with joy, and then to fall on his feet every day in everything, in all circumstances, like Paul says, giving thanks to him for his great goodness that, hey, now I know my God. Now I know my Savior. Now I can walk with him, come hell or high water. He's with me, his rod and his staff comforting me through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen, amen, and again, amen. So I conclude with these words then from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. God prophesied of your days when he said, "You will say to me in that day, I will give thanks to the Lord, for thou wast angry with me, but thy anger turned away, and thou didst comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Thanks be to Jesus. Amen.